sometimes it could get physical, but also it could just be that they call one another names. And so again, we've kind of introduced that we, you know, that we don't do that. We say, you know, we don't call people mean things. We use our words to express what we want, and that's okay. And we might not agree, but it's not okay to be mean to each other.
Hi, welcome to the Sharing Parenting Podcast, where we discuss real parenting issues. Being a parent is the biggest and most important job you will ever do. So we feel it's normal and natural for parents to look for good quality, reliable information, which has a strong evidence base behind it. My name is Suzanne Pearson, and I'm the director and founder of Sharing Parenting. Sharing Parenting has been supporting parents and professionals since 2009, and we work hard to normalise parenting support and make this easily available to all parents and professionals, which is why we've put together an interesting and informative series of podcasts for you to enjoy. Now, all that's left is for you to tune in, sit back, and enjoy the episode.
So welcome to our Sharing Parenting podcast. And today we have a good question, which is, my children are always fighting. How can I get them to like each other? So I'm Ginny, and I'm here today with
Nina, family worker.
Okay, great. Thanks to it's great that you could meet us today, Nina. So yeah, good question, isn't it? Kind of one that we have quite a lot.
It's a very, very common question. And I think it can be very varied, but certainly I think one of the first things that we'd want to say to parents is that it's very, very common for children to fight or disagree. And often we can feel like it's only our children, especially if it's sort of happening at the on the playground at pickup time and they're disagreeing, and we can feel like everyone else's families get on but ours. But actually, I think every family experiences some form of sibling rivalry or arguments at some point. So it's really very, very common.
Yeah, and a really good point, actually, which is where we kind of start with our raising children, isn't it? About, you know, pressures of being a parent and where do we feel that pressure? And I think really good point that, you know, when we're in the playground or when we're out and about, we always think, how come everybody else's child is doing it and my child isn't? But actually, we know from running the raising children and the parenting courses that actually every parent feels exactly the same, and we've all been in that position. So, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just part parcel. I think with siblings, we often think when they're born that they're going to be quite similar and they're going to get on and they're going to like the same things. And actually, as they grow, we realise that actually they're often very, very different. And so that in itself can cause a bit of conflict. And also, they often always want to be doing the same things. They're often quite competitive. And so that in itself can be a reason for fights and arguments. So it can be quite challenging, but there are lots of little things that you can do to try and help or prevent arguments. So sometimes it's looking at common arguments you have or common things they fight over and trying to work out a way where they can take turns in a way that they feel like it's fair. So often we might talk about things like family rules. So if children are having lots of arguments, then we might pull everyone together in the family and say, look, this is happening a lot. It's not good. It's not good for anyone. What can we do? And what's nice about a family meeting is we're also listening to what they're saying. So they might have a different perspective. There might be something that we've missed. So it's really good to have them involved rather than just telling them what it is that we're going to do. Involving them is really good. And often people will do things, for example, sitting in the front seat of the car or watching a particular TV program can be common arguments that children have. So it might be that you come up with a way of taking turns, and it might be that on one day one child has a turn, or maybe you have like a little tick chart and you tick off whose turn it is. But whatever you do, it's just having an agreement, and it just kind of reduces it. And actually, if you kind of have an agreement that each child takes turns, it then takes the pressure off you to to make that decision. So you can say, well, we decided it in a family meeting, so you agreed to it, so it's not putting the responsibility all on you. And sometimes they can take that better than they'll take us telling them. So that just little things like that can really, really help. So I think sometimes stepping back and looking at what the issues are and then thinking about what can we do and discussing them as a family.
So in terms of a family meeting, sounds really formal, but it's not, is it? It's just kind of maybe just get them around the table, as you say, with a snack or dinner time or whenever, just to kind of just have Absolutely. A chat. Is that, yeah, what you're thinking?
Absolutely. So, I mean, often actually at dinner time, it might be a good time to discuss it. It doesn't need to be, and it really wouldn't be anything formal, but it might be that you just kind of go around and let everyone have a chance to speak. Often we kind of visualize perhaps doing it around a dinner table, but it could be on the sofa, you know, it could be anywhere, and just giving that opportunity to discuss that everyone has their say.
So what kind of age do you think you could start a family meeting?
I think you could almost start it from age 5, really. So primary age children would happily engage in that, and they might come up with things that aren't realistic, but that's fine. You explore that with them, and some children might not see the issues in the behaviour, so you might have to, again, explore that with them. But again, it's just starting that opportunity. It may well be in some families who sometimes find that children start wanting to call the family meetings because they feel there's an issue. And also we sometimes find when it comes to discipline that sometimes children can be quite harsh on themselves. They'll often say, well, if I do that, I shouldn't be allowed to watch TV for a month. And so it's just quite interesting how they kind of view it, really. But I think we have to be mindful of age when we're doing it. And it might be that they need a bit of guidance sometimes, and even older children might. But I think it can be a really useful thing to introduce and can be used in a variety of different ways.
So this is starting to help them to take responsibility for their own actions, I suppose. And I mean, we do that as early as we can, don't we? Kind of age appropriate or stage appropriate, just to kind of help them to kind of see there is a consequence to actions, but actually they have a voice, they have a say, and they have a value in the house, you know, in the home, and we want to listen to that. So that makes me think of our 4 C's, actually, which obviously we cover in raising children, but, you know, being having that value, having that connection, but also you know, being really part of the family is really important for everybody to feel they have a voice, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think often with these, when we put rules in, sometimes they could just feel like they're being put on them, and perhaps they don't understand why we have these rules. Whereas if we do it as part of a family and everyone's on the same page, so it's not that we've told one child that they've got to do this and the other child doesn't know about it, they're more likely to take it on. And actually, yes, it is taking responsibilities for their own action. They have the choice as to how they behave, and they can then take that, you know, that consequence of how they behave, whether it be positive or negative, is also down to them. A really important life skill that we can start at, you know, at a young age.
So you sort of used the car as an example. So that, again, happened in my family all the time. I want to sit in the front, you know, no, you're sitting in the front. And so and I think we overhear that a lot as well, don't we? Kind of. So in a family meeting, we could kind of say, okay, we're going to, every day we keep arguing about the same thing, and, you know, we want to stop that behavior. So to do that, perhaps on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you can sit in the front, and Wednesday, the opposite days, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, you can sit in the front. Is that the kind of thing that we
absolutely say? Absolutely. I mean, again, it has to be something that works for you, but that, you know, that type of thing is perfect, really, so everyone feels like they're having a go. It feels fair, and they can almost manage it themselves in a way. They could ask what day it is and go, oh, okay, well, it's not my day today, but it will be my turn tomorrow. So again, it's not just putting the pressure all on you, it's giving them some of their responsibility as well, and some ownership over the decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that makes a lot of sense. So, and then the house rules that we talked about as well. I mean, I've always kind of thought keep it to two, keep it simple, you know, no more than two, really, because whatever the age, it's hard to keep a whole list in your house of the kind of what the rules are. And also it is the home. We want to make it as comfortable as possible. So, I mean, I've always, I think the two things that were important to me, and I think that's, we keep it to what's important to our family. So it could be different for different people. But for me, it was kind of keeping your hands to yourself. So obviously not in an aggressive way, sort of not using that. So we did hug and things like that, but, you know, not hurting each other. And the other thing was the raised voices, trying to kind of keep our voice to a level and low. So those would probably be my two house rules. But would you have anything similar, Nina, or anything different?
I think it's about perhaps being kind to one another. So I think maybe, you know, sometimes, you know, mine can delve into a little bit of name calling. If they get upset or someone's got something and they want it, then they may start. Sometimes it could get physical, but also it could just be that they call one another names. And so again, we've kind of introduced that we don't do that. We say, you know, we don't call people mean things. We use our words to express what we want, and that's okay. And we might not agree, but it's not okay to be mean to each other. We should be kind to each other because we're family. So that's one of the things we kind of needed to implement, I think. And I guess another thing that's often come up is when to intervene, because I think sometimes they can be having a disagreement and you might think, well, I need to leap in now because they're arguing, but actually you don't always need to. Sometimes it's good for them to have the opportunity to disagree and to explore things and to see if they can resolve it themselves. And we have to be mindful that it is their relationship and they're not likely to get on all the time, because they're going to be different and they're going to have conflict because they like different things. But what's important is, you know, that they try and resolve these issues. However, at some point, and in some cases, we do need to leap in. So how do we know when to do that? And so one of the things that we teach on our sibling rivalry course is what we call the volcano. So you can kind of imagine a volcano that's just sort of sitting there, and it's just starting to smoke. And we kind of visualize that as like a small disagreement. You can hear them just perhaps slightly raising their voices or saying, that's mine. And perhaps then you might just watch, I think, and just think, we'll see where this is going. Are they going to resolve it? Is one of them able to say, well, can I have it in 5 minutes? Maybe, fingers crossed. But if that doesn't happen and it starts to get a bit louder and we can see the smoke is now bellowing out, perhaps like a black colour, and we're thinking, oh no, we might come in and just say, I can hear that you're arguing. We need to try and resolve this. But again, we might not come in. We're not trying to stop the argument. We're just letting them know, perhaps giving them a moment to pause and think, to try and resolve it themselves, and then perhaps step back again. But if it continues, then we start to see perhaps the little bit of lava coming out and they're really, you know, going to start getting aggressive with one another. That's probably at the level where we then come in and separate them and perhaps have them in different rooms and then discuss it with each one individually when they've calmed down. Because probably at this point, they're not ready to hear us if they've got that angry. But I think it is really important not to just leap in all of the time. And not to take sides, I think, is the other important thing. Sometimes we can side with the younger one a lot, or it might be a particular child tends to be a bit more mischievous, but it's really important not to assume that it's always that child that's caused the argument, even if it is the majority of the time, because that can really affect their self-esteem as well.
Yeah, I think you've got a really good point there, that we want to play referee and then we kind of come in sort of like judge and jury, kind of like, okay, what happened, and we're trying to piece the evidence together, but actually really doesn't matter. Like I think, you know, the old age, I don't care who started it, I'm finishing it. But it was kind of that you know, like it doesn't really matter the detail, because if they've got to the point where they're breaking the house rules, like you said, if they're being unkind or they're hurting each other, then actually we have to intervene anyway, and we just stop because they've both broken the rules, or they're both hurting each other or being unkind, so we have to intervene. It's, as we say in sibling rivalry, there are the three stages, and the first one, like as you say, just to kind of listen in and think, okay, you know, maybe they are starting to disagree, but I'm just going to trust that they can do it and just kind of keep an ear out. And that reminded me as well about not rewarding the negative behaviour. So, you know, there might even be like a very first stage where they're playing really nicely, and we might kind of go in just to say, oh, I can see that you're playing really nicely, you're sharing really nicely. And I think a lot of parents worry about doing that because they kind of feel like they're going to break the magic of them playing nicely, and then they're going to want our attention. But actually rewarding the positive behaviour and reinforcing what we want them to do is probably first stage, isn't it, of that. And as you said, then kind of going into, yeah, listening, hoping that they can sort it out themselves, trusting that they will. And then, as you said, second stage, maybe kind of actually verbalising that and saying, I trust that you will be able to sort it out. I can hear that you're having a disagreement. So you both want the car, and you might kind of even state it kind of, I can see that you both want the same car. There's two cars, different colours, but I trust that you'll be able to sort this out. So that's probably the hardest. Do you agree, Nina, in terms of
absolutely.
Walk away?
trying to lead them to it. But it really, you're just planting that seed of letting them to try and sort it out themselves. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And a really good step, isn't it? A really good step of that, because then it gives them responsibility, but also gives them the message that you're trusting them and that you are helping them to count within the family. And then, as you say, as soon as they then break the rules or looks like it's an unfair thing, then somebody's going to get hurt or it's just unpleasant, then we have to step in. And then at that stage, you know, I used to separate mine, sort of say, okay, we need a bit of space, time apart, and then I might, you know, send them to separate places. But then as soon as I did that, they always wanted to be together, but they kind of seemed to work it out by then. So but I suppose it's a consequence to that action, isn't it? Yeah. If you reach this point, you break the rules, the consequence is I'm going to have to put you in separate places just to calm down, and then you can come back again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just giving them a bit of time to process it, and then you can have that conversation with them afterwards about what they could have done differently, so you're giving them the skills.
So we touched a little bit there on birth order and also being different, so perhaps we could talk a bit more about birth order. Did you want to go with that, Nina?
I mean, I think what we find with birth order, and this is a short course we do at Sharing Parenting, is each child can be very different, and you can sometimes predict some of the characteristics of these children. Often the older child will feel like they're in charge because they had that period of time where they're on their own, but they also had a time where a new sibling was introduced, and they may resented that and felt quite jealous. They might have felt a bit upset. Why did my parents want to have another child? What was I not enough? So we often find that they can be quite competitive, and you know, they want to be in charge. The second child often needs to compete, so they often need to have more attention, so often quite attention needing, because they feel they need to compete with the older child to get their attention. So often their behavior tends to be on average a little bit more outlandish than the elder child, because they feel like they have to be bigger to get that attention. And so we often see quite a marked difference between the eldest and the next child. And again, you can see differences the further on you go down the line. So if you have another child, again, the middle child can be affected, and they can have also experienced that time of where a new child has come along and they've been dethroned, if you like. They're not the baby of the family anymore, so again, they may still have that characteristics of needing needing to get attention, but they tend to be a little bit more sort of carefree. And then the younger one, again, they'll want attention themselves, so they tend to be even more outlandish to compete. And it is quite complex, and there's lots of different details to it. But in terms of sibling rivalry, you can kind of see how they can be very different. And so often that older child can really annoy the younger children because they're trying to control everything and they're trying to be in charge. And the younger children can annoy the older one because they tend to be a bit more outgoing, and that can conflict with how the older child is. And, you know, there are lots of different ways this gets played out in families, but generally speaking, that's what you see. So it can be, you know, these challenges can be seen. And actually, when you kind of think about it, it makes perfect sense that they would be like this. But often we, as I said at the beginning, we don't always think that they're not going to get along. We're going to think, well, they come from the same family, so they're going to be the same. And actually, they can be completely different. And what works with one sometimes doesn't work with the other when it comes to parenting. So you have to kind of change it a little bit. So it's just, yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting and really good to kind of consider. As you say, it's like might not be the same for everybody. And I know, you know, older children who don't have those traits or younger ones that are different. So, but it is worth kind of holding on to. And I think sort of considering it, that as well, isn't it? And the other thing that makes me think of is our True Colours course, which obviously is more about kind of personality traits and looking at, sort of certain behaviors and certain traits and whether we're the same. And I think what's good about True Colors is that, you know, you may have two children who behave very differently, and they may behave very differently to you and me because they are different people. They're individual people, and they're not just a mini me. I think that took me a while to kind of understand that, is that even if I like something, doesn't mean that both my children are going to exact like the same things as me.
No, absolutely not. And I think also they can misunderstand each other. Because their characteristic can be a certain way and then another child's can be very different, they can easily misunderstand what the other child is implying or doing, and they can get very angry. You might get one child that's very empathetic and is very caring, and the other child, it's not that they're uncaring, but they don't necessarily recognize these same things as well as one child. So you can often get a lot of conflict. You might get one child that's very logical and another child who's not particularly logical, and so the logical child can't understand why you would do anything a different way. Some children are quite orderly and they like patterns and they like to be at school and they like to have things in order. And other children don't need that at all. And so if you have these different types of children, they can really be misunderstanding. And of course, we as parents can be a different characteristic again. But the course is great because it kind of tells you what you are, but also gets you to think about, well, if I'm this way, how might I be misinterpreted? Or how might someone, you know, act in a way? And then you start to think, well, actually, my children are these characters, or other people in your lives are these characters, and that's why we don't always get on, because we're misunderstanding each other. But there is a way of working it out, I think, which is really positive. So it's a really positive course.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it kind of helps you to show a bit of empathy and put yourself into someone else's shoes, even if those shoes feel a bit uncomfortable. I think it's kind of putting yourself into someone else's shoes and kind of thinking, okay, how would they approach it rather than how would I approach it? I mean, my children, one loved to know what was going to happen in advance. I needed to kind of give them lots and lots of warning about what was going to happen. The other one, if I gave them too much warning, then they got so excited that it was just too much by the time the event came, you know. So, you know, but actually, if I'd have known that well in advance, then it would have made my life a lot easier, because I could have read the situation or dealt with it in a different way. So I think that's what we're saying, isn't it? True Colours can help you to get to that decision a bit quicker, really. Yeah. So, gosh, there's so much that we have covered. We did mention our four C's, and we mentioned about the count, you know, in four C's is about, and we'll do another podcast about that, about connecting, feeling capable, feeling that we count, and feeling that we have courage. And I think perhaps in sibling rivalry, I think perhaps it taps into that count, that value much more. And you sort of talked a little bit about jealousy and, you know, you know, introducing new siblings and things like that. So yeah, do you have any tips on if a new sibling is going to come along, how would you kind of still help that a first child or older child feel that they have value?
I think it's about making sure that they have some quality time with you to connect, I think, so they're not feeling it. Obviously, it can be difficult with a young baby because it might be that that child wants you at a particular time and you're needing to do something with the baby that's, you know, that is urgent. But it's about giving them that opportunity. Okay, I can't do this right this second, but I will have time with you later. And maybe just making sure that you're having that time, or that, you know, if you've got other people in the family that, you know, that are around, that they, you know, perhaps can support you with that as well. So just I think being mindful that that child needs to feel connected to you too, and, you know, they need to feel like that kind of member of the family. Sometimes they can feel a little bit lost, and I think that's why sometimes we see children regress a little bit when a baby comes along, because they see their baby's getting the nappy changed. Oh well, I'd quite like to wear a nappy because then I'll get that attention from my mum, or I'd quite like mum to feed me because mum's, you know, feeding the baby. And so often you'll see these children do these things because they think, well, that's how I get the attention. So if we try and change it so they feel like they get some positive time with their parents, then they won't do it so much. We know that attention's like a little cup that's got a little hole in it, so we fill it up and it's still emptying. So we have to do it a lot. But even maybe, you know, special bedtimes and things like that, just having sort of maybe a routine where they're getting special time throughout the day is really, really important. And trying to involve them, I think, with the baby as well is really, really nice as well. Some children are very interested and some aren't. But I think if they are interested, involving them in that as well can be really nice and really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And that made me think again about sort of reinforcing the positive behaviour and, you know, kind of praising them or encouraging them for when they have done something that you want to see more of. I always suggest that parents perhaps get the baby book out for when the older child's baby book and look back at the pictures and remind them that they had all of this attention as well, you know, and actually we celebrated them being a baby as well. And as you said, they do like to regress, so actually they can kind of put themselves back and have a think about that. And just again, it's just another way of showing value, isn't it, within the household.
Yeah, I mean some children will quite like to have a baby doll of their own when you've got your baby, and I'm not talking just about girls but boys as well, will quite like to have a little baby doll themselves so they can pretend to do what you're doing, and that can be really, really nice. There are some quite nice books as well about, you know, about having a new baby in the house as well, which can be quite good to read before the baby comes, to just help them understand what's going to happen, because actually it's an all new game for them. They don't remember being a baby, so It's a big learning curve. So that can really, really help as well, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It all comes back to communication again, doesn't it? So
yeah.
So I had a lovely thing the other day. I was at a wedding and the dad was doing a speech, and he said that, you know, we loved you so much and you were so lovely that we went on to have three more, because, you know, you'd set the mold, you'd set the standard. Yeah. And I thought, what a lovely way of celebrating that, really, saying, you know, you were so lovely that we wanted more children, rather than you weren't enough, you know, and we wanted.
Yeah, exactly. It's flipping the script, isn't it, to show that it's a positive.
Yeah.
And that is why we go on to have more, isn't it? So, you know, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's really nice.
So we have got a video on our website about sibling rivalry, and also on our YouTube channel as well. And we've got kind of a few films that just show, we don't say right or wrong, but we show one scenario which perhaps doesn't have a great outcome, and then we show a second one where there's a better outcome. So if you want more information, then have a look at our website, which is sharingparenting.com. So what's your takeaway from today, Nina? What would be your one thing about...
I think really it's about, you know, maybe just stepping back and looking at perhaps issues that you are having, but also looking at the positives. As you said, you know, noticing when they are good and trying to really catch them being good, which is one of our sayings. But yeah, trying to look for the positives, and then if there are things that are happening a lot, then to try and look at how we can change that behaviour. What can we do to change it?
Excellent. Yeah, building on the positives. I like that. So if you have any want more information, have a look at our website, sharingparenting.com. And we'd also love some feedback as well. So, you know, any comments that you have about the podcast or sharing parenting in general, then please do contact us. That would be great. Okay, thanks very much, Nina. See you again soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed that episode. If you would like more information, or have a parenting question about anything we have discussed, or want to find out more about parent support, please visit our website, sharingparenting.com. Here you can find written articles, videos with positive strategies, a range of courses and workshops, and loads of information. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to you joining us next time.